Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Logan's Devotions. This is episode 268, where we open up God's Word and see what He has to say for another day. We're going to be turning through to Romans chapter 2 and looking at verse 6 through 11. But before I read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, as we pause before you, as we come to consider your word, we do ask that you would press it into our hearts. Lord, would you give us minds that are ready to think well and ears that are ready to hear and hearts that are ready to believe all that you are saying. God, your word is precious to us and your son is precious to us. You are precious to us. And so we pray that as we open your word, that your spirit would work in it, that we might love you and that we might do that which is pleasing, that we might respond to your great call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 2, 6 to 11. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Most of us have probably heard of the idea of karma before. Karma. It's something in the Eastern religions, and some of the Eastern religions, we think of Buddhism, Hinduism, and it sort of wiggled its way into most of our thinking. In fact, I can remember one guy saying to me, a non-Christian friend of mine saying to me, "Wow, you must have so much good karma in your life for all the good you do." You see, he was thinking of me visiting sick people and spending time with couples and counseling and stuff like that. And so his logic was, you've done all this good, and so good stuff is going to happen to you. It's almost woven into the very fabric of our society, the expectation that if I do what is good, then good will come my way. But if I do evil, evil will come my way. Is that a biblical way of thinking? Is karma biblical? And I want to say, yes, depending what you mean by karma. If you mean the Eastern understanding of karma, no. But there is such a thing that I like to term biblical karma. So we think of Jesus saying that if you judge a tree by its fruit, if you do bad, you're producing fruit, which is bad. There's this follow-on effect. If you're doing bad, bad things will follow after it. But even more so than that, the biblical karma is the idea that you reap what you sow. So Paul says elsewhere, if you reap to death, you'll receive death. And if you reap for life, you will receive life. And it's along those lines that we are thinking today. Biblical karma. Paul has been showing us so far in Romans that we are all under the judgment of God, that all of mankind is guilty before the throne of God, and all of mankind are deserving death and damnation. So what hope do we have? What hope does humanity have if we are all wicked and we are all under the wrath of God? And it's in light of that that Paul says, biblical karma, what you seek is what you get. What you seek is what you get. And Paul now lifts up two types of people. Two types of people that seek two different types of thing. There are the lost ones. That's all of us. All of us are sinners. All of us are wicked. All of us, our hearts are deceptively evil and wicked. And yet, out of that same lump of wicked people, there are those who seek one thing and those who seek another, and both of them find what they are seeking for. So what we see in our text before us is that the lost ones who seek for self receive damnation. Have a look with me. So in verse 8, he says, those who are self-seeking, in other words, those who are seeking for their own ends, those who are seeking for what is in their heart. Now, remember the context. What sort of people are we talking about? We're talking about people whose hearts are given over to sin. We're thinking about fallen humanity here. Fallen humanity who seek their own desires, follow the logic, those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Paul's not saying those who seek themselves and yet do good, because that doesn't happen. Those who seek self and therefore do bad. So the idea is, because they are self-seeking, you've got to remember who we are, we're fallen humans. Those who are self-seeking disobey and pursue unrighteousness. You see, when we follow our hearts, our fallen human hearts, it leads us into more sin. This is why I always giggle when I see signs that people have up in the world, and they say things like, just follow your heart. And I want to scream out at people, don't follow your heart. That's not going to help you whatsoever, because if you follow your heart, it is only going to lead to sin and destruction. And so Paul says there's a group of people who are lost and they are self-seeking. And what they seek, they get. What do they get? Wrath and fury. Verse 9, there will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first, and also the Greek. Verse 11, for God shows no partiality. Those who are lost and who seek themselves, their own ends, their own desires, they end up getting it. You see, there's going to be no one in hell who gets there and says, well, I never wanted this. I always desired to live forever. I always desired to know Christ. I always desired to live at peace with God. There will be many who self-justify, but deep down at the hearts of everyone, it will be, I have received what I sought. This is why we get the picture in Revelation. If you remember all that time ago when we worked through Revelation, that we saw that even under the wrath and judgment of God in the book of Revelation, sinful fallen humanity still blasphemes against God and rages against God because they don't want God. They are self-seeking. They want their own ends. And at the end of the day, they will receive what they have sought. They have sought not to have God as their God. And so they will receive having God not as their God, but as their judge. But what about the other lump? So I said there's two people that come out. There are the lost ones who seek their own ends and therefore are under the judgment of God. And then there are those who are lost ones, because there's only one type of people, are lost ones. There are the lost ones who seek something else. They seek things above. Have a look at me, back at verse 7. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. To the Jew first, verse 10, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality. What's Paul saying? He's saying those who seek what is above receive what is above. Those who seek by well-doing, honor and glory, receive eternal life. Now what's he saying? This is really, really important that we understand this. Is Paul saying that it is by our seeking that we earn ourselves eternal life? That by seeking and by doing good and by doing glory and honor, we earn eternal life? That's not in the mind of Paul. Rather, what he's saying is those who seek, rather than themselves and their own ends, they seek God and God's end. That's what he means by who seek by patience in well-doing, glory and honor and immortality. So by patiently well-doing, proper intentions, are seeking God in his glory and God in his honor, they get eternal life. How do they get it, though? He will give eternal life. It's not earned. He doesn't say they will inherit, they will earn, they will own eternal life, but rather they will be given eternal life. And so what Paul is highlighting here is that in that sinful, fallen lump of humanity arises two classes of people. And it's not Jew or Greek. It's two different type of seekers. There is the one that seeks themselves and receives the due penalty of their sin. And there are those who seek God above and receive his eternal life. This is why Jesus says, all who come unto me, I will give rest. This is why the Gospels tell us time and time and time again, any who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Any who seek will find. Everyone seeks and everyone finds the desires of their heart. Yet we have to always put these things in their wider context, don't we? What does John 3 tell us? John 3 tells us with Jesus and Nicodemus that in order to receive and be part of the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Why does he say that? Because there's no way that a person is going to turn and seek God unless God gives them a new heart. Because by nature, we are self-seeking, aren't we? By nature, we want to get what is good for me and my ends and my desires, and who cares about God and who cares about people around me. What I care about is what causes me to obtain my ends. And Paul is saying, those whom seek God receive it. This is not a matter of works. This is not a matter of what you receive. Paul is not talking about what you receive for the good you do. There is passages about eternal rewards and the rewarding of saints for the good things that they do. We're not talking about that here. What we're talking about is two groups of people, one who goes to damnation and one who receives eternal life. And it's all about the object of what we're seeking. And so the great question is, are we seeking things above, or are we seeking the ends of this earth? Now, that's an easy thing to say. That is a hard thing to consider and do. You see, we need to be given new desires, new affections, new longings, because our heart naturally desires ourselves. Our heart naturally desires sin. And so we need God to give us a new desire. And so the question for you to consider today is, as I peer into my heart, what is the thing my heart longs for? Is my heart longing to know Jesus Christ and him crucified? Is my heart longing to know God, or is my heart longing for self? That's one of the wonderful litmus tests you can ask yourself. You remember the litmus tests at school. It's one of the great litmus tests you can ask yourself. What is the desire of my heart? If everything was taken away from me, what would be the one thing I would desire above everything else? And as you consider that question, you are beginning to consider if your heart longs for God or if your heart longs for yourself. If your heart longs for yourself, if you are longing for yourself, then there is a good chance you will head down the track of desiring yourself all the way to the wrath and fury of God. But if you desire God, it's a great sign that God has worked in your heart by his Spirit to give you a new affection. This is what I love about speaking with brand new Christians, because they have a heart which is just bubbling out. It hasn't been weighed down by all the filth around us, because they've been given a new heart and they're longing for God. Or it's like when you meet really old, godly, faithful saints who just have one desire, to be with their Lord, to be with their God, and they're waiting for the day when they get to see him in glory. Is that your heart? Is your heart expressing a soul-seeking after God. Remember Jesus said, everyone who seeks finds. That's true for every single one of us. What are you seeking today? Are you seeking money? Are you seeking selfish desires? Are you seeking a relationship? Are you seeking a man or a woman? Or are you seeking God? Yeah, this is the wonderful thing that God promises us. If we seek him, we will find him. And if we seek him and find him, he will give us eternal life. Let me encourage you. Let me exhort you. Be patient with well-doing, seeking the things above. You remember what Paul says in Colossians 3? Seek that which is above. Heavenly minded. Don't seek that which is below. Because the things below lead to wrath, but the things above lead to eternal life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word. We thank you for Romans. Thank you for your letter that you gave us through Paul. We pray that you would help us to seek that which is above and receive eternal life as a free gift from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another daily devotion, or I should say Logan's devotion. I've got to get in the habit of that. I'll see you back here, same place, same time tomorrow afternoon, where we open up God's word again. God bless.